looked at 56 commandments already. Can you believe it? I know that your notes say 55, but that's because I'm about to tell you about a mistake that I made. I don't know how I missed it, but we talked about fornication, we talked about divorce, but then we never talked about it as a sin to avoid, even though it was there in the passages. So I had to add that one in, the sin of fornication, which is primarily relations before marriage, but as we saw, it can also be committed by married people. So after adding that in, we've done 56 commandments. So I'll try to review. So my computer was dead. The two greatest commandments are, what's one of them? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the other? Love your neighbors yourself, or the golden rule, or the royal law, as God called it. Then we've looked at 9 of the 10 commandments. I'll give them as they appear in Exodus. Number 1, no other gods. Number 2, no idolatry or graven images. Number 3, don't take God's name in vain or don't swear. Number 5, honor your parents. Number 6, do not kill. Number 7, don't commit adultery. Number 8, don't steal. Number 9, don't bear false witness. And number 10, don't covet. So those are the 10 commandments. And then we've looked at, started to look at many virtues that God wants us to have. We're to be holy, meek, lowly or humble, honest, compassionate, and temperate. So those are the virtues that we've looked at. And then the biggest category so far has been what we call a Christian character. Follow Jesus, shine for Jesus, pray and fast, give, trust, put God's kingdom first, enter at the straight gate, beware of false prophets, don't fear man, learn of Jesus, don't be idle, watch, be faithful, be baptized, worship God in spirit and in truth, die to self, abide in Christ, his word to abide in us, bear fruit, yield unto God, and be not conformed to this world. So those are the what we call Christian character that we've looked at so far. And then two family ones so far. No divorce except for fornication and children obey your parents. And then how to treat one another. Forgive, judge not, don't hinder children from getting saved, serve others, have peace one with another, and love one another as Jesus loved us. Sins to avoid. No evil for evil and love your enemies. Watch the tongue. No evil thoughts, watch blaspheming, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, the evil eye, defrauding, fornication, homosexuality, envy, and contentiousness or strife. The pastors are to feed the sheep and we're to pay our taxes. So those are our commandments so far, 56 of them. And we're only up to Romans 12. And Romans 12 and 13 is jam-packed, those two chapters, with commandments. So we're at Romans 12, very familiar passage. For all of us, most of us know verses 1 and 2, if not by heart, at least we know of them quite well, because they're very common. And so we already looked at verse 1, that we're to be a living sacrifice, we're to be holy. But now we started last week, verse 2, which says, be not conformed to this world. So that's where we finished last week, as we're to be separate from this world, but not to be conformed to this world. But then there's another commandment here in verse 2, which says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're to renew our minds. Very important commandment for Christians, to renew our minds. So we're going to talk about that one this morning. But first, let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom as we look into your precious and powerful word. Use it to teach us and grow us. We want to please you. And Lord, as we learn these commandments and apply them to our lives, may we show our love through our obedience. So bless our service now, in Christ's name, amen. So the Bible says here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that is a command that we are to renew our minds. So what has the power to do that? Mark held up his Bible. Amen. The Word of God has power to renew our minds. And many times in Scriptures, we see that this devil attacks us in our thought life. And one of the most common passages is 2 Corinthians 10, so let's turn there. Brother Jim, if you could read verses 3 to 5, we'll see how God commands us to bring our thoughts under control. That's hard to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and if you would read 3 through 5.
Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
So notice it says, casting down imaginations. And then it goes on to say, bringing into captivity every thought. So is that tough for us? That's one of our toughest battles, isn't it? Is our thought life. The devil knows that. And so we don't have the power to do this without God's help, do we? But we do have the power to do it, or we wouldn't have been commanded to do it. And that is, we are to renew our minds. So that's a tough thing, but we can do it with God's help, with his word. So let's look at some more scriptures on this. Ephesians 4:23, Howard, if you would read that. And Philippians 4:8. So Ephesians 4:23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Isn't that a good verse? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that verse is nestled in between a verse that says to cast off the old man and put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then Philippians 4:8, Philip. So again, that's a command, amen? To think on the right things. And God lists them for us there, the types of things we're to think on. So this is a discipline thing, isn't it? That we work on our thought life, we work on thinking on the right things, and with God's help we can, with the Holy Spirit and his word, but it is a command. And then Colossians 3:10, Brother Mark, Zeus, would you read that for us? And this commandment, number 58, is to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, or to renew our minds.
And have put on the new man.
So notice it says here, the new man is renewed in knowledge. Well, we all know where that knowledge comes from, amen? And that comes from his word, renewed in knowledge. So commandment 58, another Christian character, if you will, is that we are to renew our minds. And that is a huge, huge one, huge challenge for all of us. So any questions about that one? We'll stay in Romans 12:2. No questions? Okay, so the next one says that you may prove, Romans 12:2, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this commandment is that we're to prove, or to know, that word prove means to know something is true, the will of God, the perfect will of God. We're commanded to know it. You know, you hear a lot of people say, I want God to show me his will, or I'm waiting for God to show me his will. God will show us his will, but we have to be in the right place to hear it and understand it, obviously. Let's go to Ephesians 5, where Paul lays out a lot of things that need to be lined up in our Christian walk if we're going to know the will of God. He talks about, verse 15, walking circumspectly. Well, if we're not walking circumspectly or carefully, then we're not going to be able to find the will of God. Then he says in verse 16, to redeem the time. If we're just idle or wasting our time, we're not going to find the will of God. But verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there we're commanded to understand the will of the Lord, which is same as the commandment we're looking at in Romans 12:2. Verse 18, how can we do that? Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. So These things need to be happening in our Christian lives so that we can find the perfect will of God for our lives. But we are commanded to, as it says here in verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we do that? The Holy Spirit will reveal it to us through His Word as we're walking the way He wants us to walk. He will show us. Look it over in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 6. The Bible says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So there we see it again. Fulfilling the will of God from the heart. And then Colossians 1:9, we'll look at one more. Robin, if you would read that for us, please. Colossians 1:9. So Paul says to the Colossians, we're praying that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of His will. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. So it's God's will that we know God's will. Amen? And that is a command for us as God's children. And if we don't know God's will, we keep aligning our lives with what God wants us to be and the Holy Spirit's guidance and His Word until we know it, because we're commanded to know it. And that is number 59. Any questions about that one? All right, number 60 is in the next verse, Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Is this a problem with us humans? We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think? Yep. We all have this problem, don't we? Unless you're a really staunch Calvinist, because they're really good at saying how depraved they are. But typically, our opinion of ourselves is higher than our true selves, isn't it? That's just part of being a sinner. Part of the pride that we inherited from our parents, Adam and Eve. So we're told to think soberly. In other words, no self-deception, no vainglory, but we're to be honest about what we are. That's important. And how do we find out what we are? Just what we're doing this morning, amen? We look into the Word of God. We see what God expects of us. And the Holy Spirit says, now there's an area that you need some work. And there's an area that you're not like Christ yet. There's an area you need some work. And we get an honest opinion of ourselves, don't we? James chapter 1 talks about looking into the Word of God and being aware of what reflects back on us, what we see about ourselves. So we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Look at verse 16 of Romans 12. At the end of the verse, be not wise in your own conceits. So again, we are to be honest about who we are. We're not to be, not to have any vain glory, if you will. So let's look at some verses on this. We'll start over here. Brad, 1 Corinthians 4:7. Jackie, 1 Corinthians 8:2. And Doug, Galatians 5:26. So let's look at some verses on this. So 1 Corinthians 4:7, this is about no self-deception or no vain glory. Amen. Any gifts we have, any abilities we have, God gave them to us. And so only He's to get the glory. Amen? All right, 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought. I like that one. And Brother Doug, Galatians 5:26.
Let us not be desirous of vain glory, but
So don't be desirous of vain glory. That's self-glory. There isn't any. Amen? We are wicked sinners saved by grace. Two more verses, Galatians 6:3. Have a look at that one if you would. I love this verse. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. This is God's word. And then in Philippians 2:3, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. So the sin we're to avoid here is vainglory or self-deception, as it says in Romans. Don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And the way to continue to deal with that is to stay in the word, because the word will continue to reflect back our true selves, as we read in James 1, and we will remain humble because we will realize that we have a long way to go. Amen? So any questions about number 60, no self-deception or no vainglory? Quiet today. All right, Romans 12:3 through 8, that whole passage is about spiritual gifts. And the command here, number 61, I'm just going to make it a single command, and that is, use them. Amen? Put them to use. And that's the point, isn't it? God didn't give us gifts, as we read in the parable, to bury in the sand. He gave us gifts to use, to be a blessing to others. So, Brother Scott, would you read Romans 12:3 through 8 to introduce us to this exciting commandment?
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth our teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Amen. So here are, those are some of the gifts that are available to us today. We'll talk about all the gifts in a few moments, but what I want us to see is these multiple commands to use them. Amen? To put them to use. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Howard, read verses 4 through 7, if you would. And Philip, 1 Corinthians 14:12. And Mark, Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Who else can I pick on? 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, Brad. So now what you'll see, if you'll see the theme here is that we are stewards of God's gifts and we're to use them. Amen? So Howard, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7.
Now these are the mysteries of gifts of the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God who is directed and ruled all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom,
amen. And then 1 Corinthians 14:12, Philip.
Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
So what's the purpose of the gifts? The edifying of the church. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, Brother Mark.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying.
There again, the edifying of the body. All right, 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, Brad.
As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the word for the praise of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, may be praised and dominion.
So as every man hath received the gift, minister as good stewards. So we didn't earn them, or we didn't we weren't born with them. We were imparted these gifts when we got saved by our Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit. God says, now you're a steward of this thing, of these gifts that God has given. You're a steward, so be a good steward. And a good steward is going to put it to use, right? Not hold on to it or hide it, but to use it. So that's the whole point. So there are 13 spiritual gifts available to Christians today of the 20. So what are the purpose of the other seven that aren't available today? Tanya? Right, the Bible wasn't available yet, so it was to authenticate the message coming from the apostles. We call them miraculous gifts, or you can even call them apostolic gifts. There were seven of them, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, and two that I can't remember. But there are seven miraculous gifts. And then there are 13 gifts for us today. So that the miraculous sign gifts are no longer needed. But the other 13, God is imparting them to Christians every day when they get saved. And we're to put them to use. We're to make sure we know what they are and we're to use them. So I'll share them with you now. There is the word of wisdom, which is the practical application of knowledge. There's the word of knowledge, which is arranging truth and giving insight into Scripture. There's faith, which of course is someone who has vision and can see that God can do great things. There's teaching, that's obvious. Helps, caring one for another. Governments, which also is another place is translated administration. So that's a management thing. And then there's ruling, which is also translated as leadership. So the Bible says to rule with diligence. Then there's ministry, which is service, serving others. Exhortation, which is an encouraging person, someone who comforts others, consoles them. The giving, that one's obvious. Someone has the gift of giving, they constantly giving to others. Mercy, with cheerfulness, because it gives joy. So someone with the gift of mercy sees people that are hurting and reaches out to them. And then the last two, which Mark read, are evangelist and pastor. So evangelist is a church planter. It's our modern day word is like an itinerant preacher, but an evangelist in the Old Testament was like what Paul was, someone who would travel, plant a church, and then go plant another church, and then go plant another church. And then, of course, pastor's obvious, translated as well as shepherd and elder. So those are the 13 that we can have today. And hopefully you know what yours are. And you're using them to minister to God's people. If you don't, you need to find them. And if there's ways to do that, ask me and I can give you a survey to take, which might help you hone in. But it's important that we are good stewards of the gifts. Amen? God imparted them to us to use. And as we read in the parables, when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to make us give account, amen, of what we did with them, what we did with our time, and what we did with the gifts that he gave us. Did we put them to use? So very important command number 61 is to put our gifts to use. And hopefully you know which of the 13 you have. Any thoughts or questions about that commandment to put our gifts to use? I'm going to have to start talking about something controversial so I can generate some questions. All right, number 62 is Romans 12:9. I know we all lost an hour of sleep last night, and that's part of it. So we needed more caffeine this morning. Let love be without dissimulation. How about that for a big word? All right, what does dissimulation mean?
Not
Somebody has to answer this question. What's dissimulation? We definitely shouldn't, but sadly, that's not what it means. Sorry, Jackie. We can find the answer often when we have words like this by seeing how it's translated in other passages, the same Greek word. That helps me a lot, and you can help you too. If you have your Strong's, you can, and it, like my mine's on my phone app, but you can look up the word, the Greek word that's there, and then search for that Greek word and see, well, how else is this word translated in the New Testament? Because those scholars definitely understood Greek. Yes, sir?
Being biased.
Pardon?
Being biased.
That's similar, yeah. But another word that's used in the Bible is unfeigned. So maybe that's getting us closer. It's another word that we don't use much today. Do you know what the word feign means? F-E-I-G-N. It means false. Good job. False or fake. So unfeigned. So are we getting closer not understanding what dissimulation is? It means that your love be genuine. Not fake. Not false. Not with any... Well, I don't know what word to use. Fakeness. That's what dissimulation means. Let love be without dissimulation. So we've already been commanded to love as Christ loved us. Amen? This is just an expansion on it to say that be careful that your love is genuine. Amen? That it's genuine love. How is that possible when we're wicked sinners? And sometimes people drive us crazy. How's it possible to love unfeigned? Cindy, how's it possible? Exactly. Because God lives in us. Amen? And doesn't the Bible say the fruit of the Spirit is? What's the first one? Love. So it's got to be with God's help that we love without dissimulation. Yes, sir?
Which love are they talking about?
Any love. Pick it. For your kids, for your wife. For your brothers and sisters.
What? Christ's love for us is sacrificial love. So it's covering all of those.
Yes, all loves. Let love. Take your pick. Love for the lost, love for each other, love for your family, even love for you. But. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yes. The love that God expects us to have, obviously, is this sacrificial agape love.
Okay.
Absolutely. I understand. I didn't understand your question. Did you mean phileo or agape? Yeah. Phileo was just Peter's way of trying to... Well, he was being honest, but he was trying to get out of the agape, wasn't he? And Jesus wouldn't let him. Anyway, so let's look at some scriptures, and we'll get this one nailed down. Where did I finish? Doug, could you read 2 Corinthians 6:6 and Brother Scott, James 2:15 and 16 and Howard, 1 Peter 1:22 and Philip, 1 John 3:18. So 2 Corinthians 6:6, what we're looking at here is our love. And I realize that we could have just wrapped this one up in the other one, that we're to love as Jesus loved us. But I thought it was important that we at least see that God is helping us understand that our love has some extra commandments on it. And this is one of them, that it's to be without dissimulation. It's to be unfeigned. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 6:6, Doug.
By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned.
So there it is, love unfeigned. All right, Brother Jim, James 2:15 and 16.
Those things which are needful to the body,
but doth it profit?
You've heard me say it too many times about love being action, but this drives that home, doesn't it? If you see a brother or sister and they don't have any clothes, and you say, I just pray God gives you some clothes. James says, what good did you do? In other words, give them some clothes. Amen? That's love. All right, Brother Howard, 1 Peter 1:22. That's a good verse, but that's not it. 1 Peter 1:22. No problem. Because it said neither was guile found in his mouth. So that's Jesus. His love was never of guile.
Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart.
Unfeigned love of the brethren and love one another with a pure heart. Isn't that good? So we're seeing here what God wants is our love to be pure and unfeigned or without dissimulation. Brother Philip, 1 John 3:18 be our last one. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in what? Deed. And in truth. In truth means honest, means unfeigned. It means without dissimulation. So our love for one another and for, well, I'll stop there. Our love is to be unfeigned or without dissimulation. It's to be pure or from a pure heart, and it's to be in truth, as we just saw here in 1 John 3:18. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue. In other words, don't just keep saying it, but do it. Amen? God so loved the world that he gave. Christ loved the church and gave himself. God didn't just say, I love the world. God loved the world through his actions. Amen? And we're to be the same. But that love is to be unfeigned. So if we have a problem with that, we can't solve it on our own. But we do have the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. So with his help, we can do this. Number 62, to have love that's unfeigned. Any thoughts or questions before we close?